was good, wasn't it?
Amen.
That was fantastic. Yeah, give them a hand. Give them a hand. They deserve it. And until you do one of these things, you have no idea the hours that goes into it, the hours of rehearsing in the choir together, the solo, the duet, the trio, the kids. Kids, you did a fabulous job. By the way, you did a good job this morning, too. That was fantastic with everything that was up here. But, boy, we're glad you're here tonight. We're so glad you're here. I think this cantata, really, of all the ones I've heard here, this would be six now. I think this was my favorite. I think just basically for one reason, is that there's something that took place tonight during the course of, not especially the songing, yes, but especially in the dialogue that was going on, that every one of us could say, I know what they're talking about. I know what they're saying. I've been there. I've done that. In fact, we might even put ourselves in their position and think, ooh, boy, that was, I know what they're doing. The situations were so real. The kids losing their shoes, yeah. But especially with the dad, Tom. Especially with the dad. At one place he said he had everything and he did not need God. He had the world by the tail, spinning it around over his head. Whatever he needed, he had. If he didn't need it or didn't have it, the job he had was he could go out and get it. And remember, that promotion was imminent, that he could go out and get whatever he needed and get it there and have it. Kind of sounds like America, doesn't it? Kind of sounds like America. There was a day that boy, we had so much, and now all of a sudden it just seems like everybody got to scale back, and we got to be careful just a little bit. Used to be able to go just about any place and find a job that would pay the bills, and then the benefits on top of that, and the insurance, and everything else. Boy, that was just, oh, you could just about do it. I remember growing up, I just sat this afternoon trying to think of the moms that I knew that had to work. I couldn't think of very many. My mom went to work when I was a junior in high school. She got bored staying home. But she didn't have to. But today, so many have to work. They just simply need to. And so many are in the situation of Tom Jenkins. A promotion didn't come. And even to the fact where he lost his job due to cutting corners. And some people, and by the way, we've seen it right here in this auditorium with folks sitting here tonight. Something has happened. The job has fizzled out. The cutting corners, so to speak, has taken place. And we're able to accept that as God's will, saying, boy, God's got something better for me. God's got something better, a better job, a better situation. God's got something, and I just can't wait. I just can't wait to see what God's going to do. But so many turn to God as Tom did tonight. And blame God for everything. Blame God for the hard times when all really God's trying to do is just show us how much we need him. How much we need him. Fanny Crosby could have been all bent out of shape and bitter towards God, being born blind. Had that happened, she would never have written any of those hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of songs that she wrote that right now we turn to, and when we sing in it, we sing here in this church that boy, there's such a comfort to us. Where would we be without an obedient lady doing what God told her to do in the place that he wanted her to be? D.L. Moody could have gotten bitter towards God for that Chicago fire that started in 1871. What was it? One night after he didn't give an invitation, and some of the folks that were in that invitation that night perished in the fire. Horatio Spafford, who was a good friend of D.L. Moody's, could have blamed God just as well for allowing his only son to die of scarlet fever in 1870. And then as part of that Chicago fire, Mr. Spafford was a realtor who owned much of downtown Chicago on the lakefront, and most of his holdings were destroyed in that fire. He could have got bent out of shape over that as well, got bitter towards God. Not only that, on November 2nd, 1873, Horatio Spafford and his wife and his four remaining daughters were to head to England to assist D.L. Moody. And something took place, some real estate workings down in Chicago where he could not go. So he sent his wife and his four daughters across to England and got part of the way over there, and their ship collided with another, and the four daughters perished in that accident. He received a message back, or a message from his wife that said, "Saved alone." Mrs. Spafford, as she was pulled out of the water, her memoirs say that she remembers being told that she had been spared for a purpose. Don't miss it. Horatio Spafford, on his way to meet his wife in England, was shown the place that the ship sank with his daughters aboard. And when he was told they were over that spot, he went to his cabin and wrote the words to the hymn, "It is well with my soul." Boy, aren't we glad tonight he didn't get bitter at God. Mrs. Spafford, after she gathered her thoughts when she had been rescued, in her memoirs it says, "It is easy to be grateful and good when you have so much, but take care that you're not a fair-weather friend of God." By the way, the words from "It is well with my soul" came from 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 26, when that Shunammite woman found out that her son was dead. And the Bible says this, he says, "Run now, I pray thee, to meet her, and say unto her, it is well with thee." This is Gehazi being told to do what to do by Elisha. And he says, "Run, I pray thee, to meet her, and say unto her, is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with thy child?" And she answered, "It is well. It is well." And by the way, later on, that son by Elisha was raised. Boy, it's so easy to blame God for all the bad things. It's so easy to blame God for the things, by the way, as we see bad, and forget that God has promised that all things work together for good to those that love him, that are the called according to his purpose. Because we need to remember that sometimes God allows these things into our life just so we'll stop and go to him and let him show us just how good he is. Tonight, our dad, Tom Jenkins, he had a hard time believing that Jesus was God, even though the Bible clearly says it. He even quoted the verse pretty close. That same verse, John 1, 1, says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And other places beside that. Now, I don't know, I can't explain how Jesus is God, but I know it's true, because God said it true. And I've seen too many times that God has come through for me and answered a question that I know God's never going to let me down, and God's never going to fail me. This past week, I remember when I went home at night, and I came to work early in the morning, and that night I jotted down a note on one of my sticky pads, and I had a question that I wasn't clear about, and I said, "Boy, I got to find out about this question," because I thought, I don't know if that's going to work or not. Can I tell you that within 60 minutes of that reading that sticky note that morning, God showed me, "It's okay. It's going to be fine. I'm doing it. Just don't worry about it. Just do it." Tom Jenkins could not understand why God or any God would come to earth as a mortal man to redeem lost mankind. I mean, why would God come to live on earth as a man and leave all the comforts of heaven? Why would God send his only begotten son to the earth to be born in a manger? Why would God send his only begotten son to the earth to be beaten and spit on and hit and mocked and abused? Why would God do that? Why would God send his only begotten son to the earth to be crucified and tortured? Why? Why would God send his only begotten son to the earth and then turn his back on him right in the midst of Jesus being crucified, when Jesus needed somebody the most? God turned his back on his only begotten son. And not only that, he made him become sin for us. Why? I can only think of one reason. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." God so loved the world. That's why he came. For no other reason. He came because he loved us. Excuse me, he loves us, present tense. Philippians chapter 2, verse 7, talking about Jesus, took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus did all this so one day we could spend eternity in heaven with him. That we don't have to worry about what's going to happen to us when we die. We can be in heaven with him. So we would be able to trust Christ as our personal Savior, just like Tom did tonight. Have our sins forgiven and removed from our record in heaven. I know what Tom was feeling tonight. Also know what Greg was feeling tonight when he said, when he asked his mom, he said, "Mom, did Dad, I know he listened, but did he hear? Did he hear?" And I guess all preachers feel this way, but I just somehow fear tonight that some may have listened to every word that's been said since the very beginning, the very first word of that song, all the way through the announcements and watching the kids and everything, and they've heard they've listened to everything that was going on. But I fear tonight there may be somebody here that hasn't heard a thing that was said. Lady Mattingly was a lady of high social standing, great importance. She had a large family, and she was very strong in her faith. She knew the Bible. She read the Bible. She memorized the Bible. She meditated on the Bible. Her favorite verse was this, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 2. It says, "For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." That became the verse of her life verse. You couldn't walk into her room and talk to her, but she quoted that verse to you. Well, really, she cheated just a little bit. She pared it down just a little bit. She pared it down to, "For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." She would recite that verse. The kids would come in and talk to her. And they'd say, "Mom, how do you stay so positive?" And she'd rattle off that verse. The neighbors would come in and say, "Lord, Lady Mattingly, how do you stay? The finances are not well. How do you stay on top of things?" She'd quote the verse. And say, "How do you?" She'd quote the verse. But as life would have it, she got a little bit older. Her memory began to fail. She slowly but surely lost her ability to remember that which she had memorized. And one time she was saying the verse, and she said, "For I know whom persuaded that he is committed unto him." And down to the last few days of her life, it got to the place where words came very, very difficultly, to the place where in the last about 2 days of her life, she could only remember one word, him. Him. Her family would come into the room and she'd be smiling and looking upward and just saying, "Him. Him." This Christmas, have you made a place for him? Or is all that you are involved in crowded out him? Him. Are you more concerned about that which is under the tree or that which died on the tree? Him. Him. Maybe there's somebody here tonight that if you were to die right this moment, you don't know for sure you'd go to heaven. Can I say something tonight, please? You can know that you'll go to heaven tonight for sure. Or you can know that you can go to heaven one day when you die. You can find that out tonight by putting your trust in him. In him. In just a few moments, a choir is going to sing a song of invitation. There'll be somebody standing at the end of each aisle with a Bible in their hand. If you're not sure you're saved tonight, please come talk to one of the workers up here at the altar. And just tell them, I want to do what Tom did. I need to be saved tonight. I need to know for sure I'm going to heaven tonight. I need to know that for sure. I want to put my trust in Him. Father, please, tonight, do a work in our hearts. Please bless this meeting tonight. And if there would be one apart from Christ tonight, God, may this night be the night that they put their trust in You. Please bless this time. Bless the invitation. Please.